Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
Julie, what's your relationship with tattoos? Do you have tattoos? Does anyone close to you have tattoos?
Well, I don't have a tattoo. I'm non-committal by nature, and this is how I found out.
Yeah.
Is by pondering, like, well, maybe I'll get a tattoo. What tattoo would I get? And then just being like, I can't commit. My husband is tattooed, and I like them. I particularly like chef tattoos. That exalt, like, their favorite kind of food or their favorite knife.
Oh, yeah. Like, there's the guy on Mind of a Chef, the second season, who has the one arm is sleeved in different vegetables and ingredients.
Yeah.
My apologies for not remembering his name. But check out the second season of Mind of a Chef. It's really good stuff.
Yeah, but this can be really kind of fascinating. What about you?
Well, I do have one tattoo. And to your noncommittal thing that you brought up, indeed with me, it was like a long sort of deciding process, because I always kind of wanted one, but I wasn't impulsive enough to just go out and get like some stupid tattoo in junior high or high school.
Mm-hmm.
So I spent a lot of time thinking, all right, if I get the one tattoo, get one mark on my body that's going to be permanent, you know, what is it going to be? Where am I going to put it? It has to have some sort of, you know, it needs to be a potent enough symbol. It needs to mean something to me, because if you get a whole bunch of them, if you just get sleeves, and you can afford to have some duds in the mix, right? And you
sure
can cover them up later on. But if you're just going to get the one, you got to really hit it out of the park. You can argue that maybe I didn't hit it out of the park with this.
Stop
one, but
with the suspense. Tell us about it.
So it's, I had the design done by an artist by the name of Michael Manning, and it's on my, my ribs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the, it's,
ouch.
It was probably not a great place pain-wise for a first tattoo, but it's essentially the spear wound of Christ, but it's also kind of like a vulva and also kind of like an eye. So like I had those three requests because I've always been fascinated with some of the stranger Christ imagery, particularly images such as the finger is going into the hole in the resurrected Christ's body, and the idea that that the spear wound in the resurrected Christ is not only like yonic symbolism, but is ultimately about combining masculine and feminine aspects of God into one body. So, I was always interested in all that stuff. So I thought, well, hell, I'll just get a tattoo that kind of encompasses some of those ideas and, is kind of a, you know, a shifting amorphous symbol of something.
Well, I was just about to say you really nailed it, but that's not a great choice of words. But really, seriously, I mean, that is a thoughtful tattoo.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah.
And plus it's out of the way, so nobody sees it unless I'm, you know, swimming or something. So
there you go.
It works on all counts.
Now, a 2012 Harris poll found that 21% of American adults have a tattoo. That's 1 in 5, which is a lot higher than I thought it would be.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess, you know, part of it is that you don't necessarily have to see tattoos. I've seen it when I was researching this. I kept coming across, I don't know, something in the keywords I was throwing in. I kept finding an article about Dolly Parton being secretly covered in tattoos.
I think she has a butterfly or something emerging from her bosom.
But I mean, I've never seen it. So
nor have I.
So everybody could essentially have butterfly tattoos on their sternums, but unless you're at the beach with them, you're just not going to know.
Oh, you're going to call it the sternum?
The sternum. Yeah, I guess.
All right. You probably are familiar with all sorts of sites that celebrate the good, the bad, the terrible of tattoos, because one of the intriguing things about tattoos is that they can be permanent, although we have technology now to get rid of them. But essentially what you're doing is you're trying to immortalize some sort of idea. So when you see some bad grammar in a tattoo, then it's especially mortifying, right?
Yeah, bad grammar. Just weird, perplexing imagery. Particularly the one that I always come back to is the one of the dolphin sitting on a lazy boy recliner smoking a bong. That's one of my favorites. And really that's not even like one of the worst tattoos.
No, I mean, it's not.
It's not really offensive to anybody. It's just strange that someone was like that's going on me and I'm going to take it with me to the grave. It's going to last longer than my life, that tattoo.
Now, there's one I saw that was super earnest and kind of sad, only because of the way it turned out. But it was a back tattoo that said, "Only God can judge me." Mm-hmm. The problem with it is that it had super fancy scrolls, so that J looked like an F. And so it turned out essentially looking like, "Only God can fudge me."
Fudge me. Okay. All right. It's... Yeah, I mean, that's the power of tattoos, though, is that it's the permanence or the ideal permanence of the thing. It's what can make a tattoo inspiring and empowering. It's what it can make a tattoo dehumanizing.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen examples of both ends of the spectrum throughout human history. I mean, you go back in time, you look at some of our earliest examples we found. We found them etched in the flesh of the 5,200-year-old Uzi, the Iceman. This was the Iceman that we found on the Italian-Austrian border back in 1991. And we also find very early examples of tattoos among the Egyptians, only the females. This is really interesting. This would date them back to around 2,000 year. This would date them back to around 2,000 BCE. And these women were probably, they think, royal courtesans, dancers, etc. Archaeologist Johann Fletcher theorizes that these tattoos had a therapeutic role and functioned as a permanent form of amulet during the very difficult time of pregnancy and birth. And these would be placed on the abdomen, around the breasts. And so in this we see the idea of the tattoo is almost a magical spell, as a protective feature, and really you see that again throughout human history. Even today, a lot of times we get those tattoos on us to immortalize some spirit that we aspire to, or some person that means a lot to us, some deity, some supernatural force, whatever, some sort of symbolism that we wish to take into our flesh.
One of the more interesting ones to me that I ran across was from a 1993 archaeological dig. These archaeologists were working in an icy plateau in eastern Russia, and they stumbled upon a burial chamber of a mummy who became known as the Siberian Ice Princess. And her 2,500-year-old body was incredibly well-preserved in the permafrost, and it had elaborate tattoos on both of her arms. Now, her head was shaved, and she wore a wig and a tall wooden headdress decorated with cats and swans. And they think she was a princess or someone of elevated status, because not only that, she was surrounded by 6 horses that were saddled and bridled. They were supposed to be, they think, her spiritual escorts into the other world. And she also had a little container of cannabis, which they then found out maybe had something to do with alleviating her pain because she did have some cancer growths in her body and she had some form of osteoporosis too. So what I thought was interesting in terms of the tattoos is that the person who led this, Natalia Polesmak, says that compared to all tattoos found by archaeologists around the world, those on the mummies of the Pazaric people, whom she was a part of, are the most complicated and the most beautiful. And so what's interesting about this tattoo is that the sort of language that they deal in is of animal imagery. And so they had a kind of animal-based language, which is really cool. And Polesmak says that these tattoos were used as a means of personal identification. So think of your own passport. This idea was that this would tell the story of who you were so that in the afterlife you could meet up with others.
Interesting. It reminds me of an old Eastern saying that I ran across that said that if you do not have a tattoo, that it's almost like you don't exist. Like you're basically invisible. By tattooing something into your body, like you're making yourself more real.
I'm thinking about that.
Okay.
All right.
Now, you mentioned the sort of medicinal aspects of that tattoo. I should go back and mention that on our friend Utsi, the Iceman. Utsi's tattoos consisted of dots and small crosses on his lower spine and right knee and ankle joints, and those correspond to areas of strain-induced degeneration, with the suggestion here being that they may have been applied to alleviate joint pain and therefore were essentially therapeutic. And again, you're getting also probably into a certain amount of magical thinking as well and ritual, but ultimately an early form of a medicinal tattoo.
Now, you had mentioned Egyptian women and tattoos that would help as sort of talismans. Mm-hmm. And there's one example that the British Museum looked at. They had scanned and stripped the mummy of an Egyptian woman dating back to 700 CE. They found a tattoo on her thigh. And as deciphered by the curators, the tattoo written in ancient Greek is transliterated as M-I-X-A-H-A or Michael. So the idea here is that it's thought that the name was referring to the archangel Michael, and because it was placed on her inner thigh, that it might have been a protection, not just for the birth of a child, but maybe even against a sexual violent act.
Huh, interesting. Here's another interesting religious tattoo, and I do want to point out that we're not going to attempt to chronicle every fascinating tattoo tradition that's been passed on through human history, because there are many whole books have been written about this. But we're just hitting some high points here, for us. During the Crusades in the 11th and 12th century, Christian warriors identified themselves with the mark of the Jerusalem cross so they could be given a proper Christian burial if they died in battle. And that one is kind of interesting because on one hand, it's a religious tattoo, but it's also, it also is sort of, like some of the modern models of, medical tattoos that we'll touch on. Basically, it's saying who and what you were for anyone that would come across your body.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to talk prison tats.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product, and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use this directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles in a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Roger that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back. Now, earlier we mentioned the power of tattoos, mm-hmm. the permanence of tattoos has, of course, the positive and empowering side, but also a negative and dehumanizing side. You do see a long tradition of penal tattoos throughout human history, particularly you see it in China, you see it in Japan, you see it in the Hellenistic period. Mm-hmm. And this is the idea that you have your criminals and you want to mark your criminals. So what do? You tattoo them. And you let everyone know then for, you know, ideally for the rest of their lives, you are dealing with someone who committed this act. So that's taking the permanence of that tattoo and using it in a very, very negative manner.
Yeah. But now, you know, fast forward to today and you see prison tattoos more of aspect of prison culture.
Yes.
And to be clear, according to the Federal Bureau of Prisons, having a tattoo kit is considered contraband for a number of reasons. It could be used as a weapon. It could spread infectious disease. And yet, as we know, contraband gets through the gates. And in fact, there's an entire prison economy based on contraband.
Yeah, I think we went into some of this in our, did we go into this in our episodes about digestion? Because I know Mary Roach went into the prison wallet a lot in her book, Gulp.
The prison wallet. That's right. Yeah. I cannot imagine smuggling a tattoo machine into my prison wallet.
Well, based on some of the other things that get smuggled in, the tattoo gun is probably not the worst. But indeed, I mean, you look at a prison environment and you have so many, it's almost a perfect model for why a lot of people get tattoos. Because you're cut off mm-hmm. from people you love. So you might get a tattoo, of some, that reminds you of somebody on the outside. You also have to, in many cases, bond with a different cultural group. You have prison gangs, for lack of another mm-hmm. word, prison cultures, and you want to show that you are a part of that culture. You make that culture a part of your flesh. Also, it's a place where some inmates find religion, and you want to show that this deity or this model of faith means a lot to you, so you put it into your skin.
Retired law enforcement official and prison culture expert Richard Lichten says, quote, I've talked to many inmates and tattoos are always about what's important to them. It can be something personal like a spouse's name or a Bible quote or to belong to a group to intimidate others or to tell a story. So I think that's really important too. And we'll talk a little bit more about this, but you know, if you're in prison and you, as you say, you want to bond with a certain group or identify with a group, the easiest way to do that is to have a permanent tattoo inked on you.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of comes back to the basic idea that as humans, we all look kind of the same on the outside, you know? There's nothing on the outside that necessarily gives a lot of depth about character. And the tattoo is an ability to take our inner world and make it a part of our outer world.
Well, and in terms of prison culture, too, it's a bit of survival, right?
Yeah.
Especially if you're trying to join a group or, you know, get protection from that group. So let's get to the teardrop tattoo, shall we? Kind of get that out of the way, because there's always that always comes up. And I feel like there's no definitive answer for this.
This is the idea that you have a teardrop tattoo. It means you've killed somebody in prison.
Yes.
Okay.
That's usually I should say that most people associate it with, you know, the fact that the wearer has killed someone.
Mm-hmm.
But it can also mean that the wearer has served a long prison sentence or is mourning the loss of a family member. And a clear teardrop can mean that the wearer has committed an attempted murder or alternatively that a close friend was killed and the wearer is seeking revenge.
Hmm. You know, we haven't even touched on this, but this is a callback to our episode, The Zen of Pain, and to a listener mail that we received, and I believe read in our recent episode. Getting a tattoo stings a bit, and it's depending on your means of actually putting the tattoo in your flesh, it becomes a ritual. It becomes an experience of pain, a ritual of pain, and so you have that whole dynamic going on as well, as you say, in the name of a departed loved one, put into your flesh.
Yeah, and I think that the reason why that teardrop one is so poignant or so troubling to so many people, because it's such a mark on that person and in such an outward expression of the angst or sadness that consumes them, presumably.
Yeah, because when you get a facial tattoo, you're changing the way that you communicate with the world. I think we've discussed before on here that When a hominid species, such as humans, have faces that kind of all look alike, it's because the more alike we are, the more nuance comes out in our expressions. The more that we're better able to communicate with one another because we have kind of a similar facial
recognition
system in place. Yeah. So the idea of a facial tattoo is often kind of frightening, kind of intimidating. And of course, you see a great tradition of facial tattooing with the Maori people, really beautiful facial tattoos. But in particularly with the men, it's often it's about putting on this impressive visual display, this aggressive display, even
intimidation, right? Yeah. So it's sort of a kind of embodied cognition, which we've talked about before with the old lab coats that people don sometimes, and they feel more important or more proficient. In the same way, if you're altering your face to look more intimidating or to express your grief, then you are embodying that. That is changing the person that you are expressing to the world.
Now, speaking of gangs and cultural tattoos and about the outward display, sometimes it's about the hidden display as well, because I think one of the most remarkable examples of like a gang cultural tattoo is, of course, the body tattoos of the Yakuza, the Japanese gangster class, where you have these elaborate designs that they generally have themes of unresolved conflict and also symbols of character traits that the wearer wants to aspire to. For instance, the carp often shows up as a representation of strength and perseverance.
Yeah, and then there's also, you know, sort of the language behind them. Mm-hmm. So it's not just the bonding, but it's also sort of, again, embodied cognition and a way of saying this is the life that I have chosen for myself when it comes to gang tattooing. The Canada Border Services Agency document, Tattoos and Their Meanings, says that the three-dot tattoo, usually in a triangle configuration, it signifies prison, hospital, cemetery. And that represents the path and the ultimate end of a gang lifestyle. So it's a kind of commitment to that lifestyle to have that tattoo and say that I accept that these may be the terms of my employment or the culture that I'm entering into.
Now, we mentioned medical tattoos a little bit earlier. And, of course, we still see the use of tattoos in medicine, though not as a mystical curative factor. But you do see them, for instance, to indicate a medically relevant condition mm-hmm. on a body or location, kind of like those crusader tattoos we mentioned earlier. They essentially would let someone know this person has this condition. Please treat them accordingly.
Yeah.
You have, in some cases, U.S. soldiers have a tattoo version of their dog tags that are sometimes called meat tags. And this is essentially the same thing as the Crusader tattoo that says this dead body was so-and-so, and this is where they were formed, this is their unit, etc. But then you also see medical tattoos used in radiotherapy.
Mm-hmm.
You're using a radiation to treat a very particular part of the body. You want to hit the same part, the same area each and every time. You need a permanent marker of where to apply that radiation.
Yeah, and usually it's just four like freckle-sized dots,
yes.
and you know, in sort of a square configuration that's mapping out that patch of tissue that needs to get hit over and over and over again. And the more accurate you can make that, and the faster the process, especially for people who are going through, say, 6 week or more radiation treatments, this can be really, really helpful.
Indeed. Also, you'll see medical tattoos sometimes used for areola replacement or part of the areola replacement following a mastectomy. So again, those are just some quick points on the long, rich timeline of human tattooing.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back, we are going to talk about the actual mechanics of tattooing.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Hey, we're back. So we've talked about the history of tattooing, the culture of tattooing, and it brings us up to the modern day.
Yeah, and before we really talk about the more of the modern aspects of tattooing, including the invention of the tattoo machine, we should say that the reason why tattooing became so popular, or one of the reasons, is people like Joseph Banks, who's a naturalist aboard the British ship Endeavour. And according to a Smithsonian article by Abigail West, he was one of the first to record encounters with the Polynesian practice of tatooing, and again, we're talking about 1769, when Banks was watching a 12-year-old girl being extensively adorned. And then he wrote about it, and it really captured the imaginations of a lot of people. And they then wanted to also participate with tattoos.
And indeed, we have a rich tradition of sailor tattoos. I think probably some of my first encounters with tattoos were individuals, say, in a church environment, mm-hmm. who were veterans and had been sailors or otherwise engaged in the Second World War. And they would have these sort of faded, misshapen tattoos that may have once been mermaids or just naked ladies or whatever, but had slowly turned into more sort of green blurs on their arms.
And you can see the appeal because, you know, here you have, back in the day, someone looking at these tribes, and you can see how sailors who consider themselves a community unto themselves, like a tribe, mm-hmm. might want to use this as bonding as well, or to tell stories about their travels.
Yeah, and they're, of course, engaging and often risky employment out there on the, mm-hmm. on the high seas. So you have every reason to want to make something a little permanent in your flesh when you're dealing with all of this uncertainty.
So you won't be surprised to know that it became so popular that in December 8th of 1891, someone by the name of Samuel F. O'Reilly received a patent for the first tattoo machine, a two-coil electromagnetic tattoo needle. Now, his invention was actually a modification of Thomas Edison's 1876 electric pen patent. And O'Reilly saw how Edison's methods of ink transfer using a stencil and ink pen could be adapted for use in tattooing. And so what you have is this machine that just gets improved over and over again to the point where they get lighter, easier to handle, safer, and less painful, and you get better inks.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the ink because the ink has varied a lot. It's pretty stable these days. It mm-hmm. tends to be more of like a vegetable based pigment. But in the past, you've seen it made from anything from soot to metal salts. But again, nowadays you go into a tattoo parlor, if you're getting an on the level tattoo, it's probably going to be something more vegetable based.
Unless it's something super cutting edge, which we'll talk about in the next episode when we talk about the future of tattoos. Don't want to give that away.
But the tattoo gun, the technology basically hasn't changed all that much. There's been a refining process over the years where it gets better and better, because you can still build a very crude tattoo gun and do the work yourself or have your cellmate do it.
Which we don't recommend.
Do not recommend.
To even getting into a situation where you have a cellmate in the first place.
Yeah, it's worth pointing out, I believe the FDA does not technically approve of tattooing, or even henna tattoos, by the way. They say henna.
Really?
Yeah. Because I was looking at one of the more cutting edge techniques that we'll discuss later. Mm-hmm. I saw a note that it was not approved by the FDA, so I kind of looked into it a little bit and said, well, what does the FDA approve of? And it seemed to indicate that the FDA is really does not approve of any of the tattooing. So there you go.
Huh? They're kind of old school like that.
Yeah, I mean, you are talking about putting ink into your skin, so you can't really expect the FDA to be too behind that.
Yeah, let's talk about that. This machine is moving a solid needle up and down to puncture the skin between 50 and 3,000 times per minute. The needle penetrates the skin by about a millimeter and deposits a drop of insoluble ink into the skin with each puncture. And now, when those tattoo needles are puncturing the skin, they're going through the epidermis, the outer layer of the skin, and then they drive into the dermis, which is the second layer of the skin. And that layer is modeled with nerves and blood vessels. And if the tattoo artist is shading the design, then they're using this shader needle, which is comprised of several needles in a single bar. Otherwise, they're just using one single line needle.
So again, epidermis is the outer layer. Dermis is the second layer. So when you're looking at a tattoo, you're looking through the epidermis into the dermis. That's where the actual ink is contained.
And that's really important because that has a lot to do with why they don't fade in the first place.
Yeah, because, you know, obviously there can be, it depends on where you get the tattoo, depends on the wear and tear, depends on a number of factors. Tattoos do fade over time.
Mm-hmm.
If you were some sort of a, you know, I would love to see this tackled in some sort of fiction where there's an immortal character, be it, you know, kind of like a Highlander or a vampire situation. What happens when they get that tattoo and they actually live 500, 600 years? How awful would that tattoo look over the course of centuries?
Yeah, instead of I love mom, it would just be like I love our mo. Yeah, because if it were just up to the epidermis, that first layer, it would slough off. Now, consider that we shed 40,000 skin cells an hour. That's about a million a day.
Yeah, in fact, the body replaces itself with a largely new set of cells every 7 years to 10 years. And some of our most important parts are revamped even more rapidly. So we have red blood cells live for about 4 months. Those poor cells that line your acid-filled stomach, they're lucky to last like 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, cells in the skeletal system are consistently regenerating, but a full turnover takes a full decade. So, you know, we're constantly rebuilding our bodies as we go through life. We're consuming food, we're consuming nutrients, and we're building everything back up again. And yet, the tattoo remains mostly stationary.
Right. Because it's part and parcel because it's sort of trapped in the dermis, that second layer, but also because of your immune system. And what I mean by that is that every puncture signals to the body to begin the inflammatory process. So you have immune cells racing to those puncture sites, and then you have special cells called macrophages. And they begin kind of, I'll say in quotes, eating the dye in an attempt to clean up the inflammation it's causing. And then the rest of the dye gets soaked up by skin cells called fibroblasts. And the fibroblasts, along with a lot of those macrophages, they kind of just stay suspended in the dermis in perpetuity. And so that's what you have showing through the skin.
Yeah, and of course, the dermis is more stationary than the epidermis. The epidermis is constantly slouching off, but the dermis is a little more set in stone, if you will.
And I really think what's interesting about this is it's a story about the immune system helping this process to keep the ink in place in your body.
Yeah, and then ultimately you have ink that's just not, it's not small enough to be a factor for, say, white blood cells. University of Pittsburgh Medical Center dermatologist James B. Bridenstine pointed out in a 1999 Scientific American article that tattoos remain in the skin because the ink particles are too large to be ingested by the white blood cells that patrol the body and carry away foreign bodies. So, you know, it's kind of like, you know, police officers walking in front of some graffiti art on a wall.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not their jurisdiction to deal with its removal, they're not going to remove it. And the white blood cells are saying, hey, it's not my problem. This thing's too big to be an issue to me anyway.
Right. And that's why I think it's interesting. Those macrophages are trying, and some
yeah.
of them are successful in carrying away the dye particles.
Yes.
While others, they just kind of sit there with it in their bellies, really.
Yeah.
Suspended forever in the dermis.
All right. So this, of course, brings up the question, how do we remove tattoos? How do you get rid of this awful tattoo that you say got on spring break back in 96 or
yeah.
a lover's name that no longer seems applicable? Like one that comes to my mind as a wrestling fan,
mm-hmm.
there's of course a wrestler that goes by the name The Undertaker. And for a while he had like one of his past wives, her name was Sarah, and he got her name tattooed on his throat. So it was very, very prominent when you would see him perform that Sarah meant a lot to him because her name was on his throat. And then eventually the name was gone,
mm-hmm.
and he was no longer married to her. So you might wonder, how do you get rid of Sarah? How do you rid her name from your throat flesh?
I wanted to mention that tattoo regret is actually fairly common. According to the American Society for Aesthetic Plastic Surgery, the number of people undergoing laser tattoo removal increased 43% from 2011 to 2012. I don't know, just like a bad year for tattooing. And there's a 2012 British Association of Dermatologists survey that found that nearly one-third of people suffer from tattoo regret. To be fair, this survey was really small, like 580 respondents, 53% men, 47% women. And most tattoos were done by a professional, but half of the patients were over 40, which tells the story that a lot of these tattoos were done in the younger years, between 18 and 25 years old.
So yeah, it was a youthful indiscretion that they want to actually erase from their flesh when they're an adult.
Yeah, and then occasionally, too, you'll have medical complications. The New England Journal of Medicine described contaminated ink causing infections of non-tuberculosis mycobacteria. It's really difficult to treat, and really the only option is removing that tattoo.
I've also heard that sometimes tattoo removal is useful for people who are very much still into their tattoos, but that it essentially becomes a tool of retouching past tattoos. So you have some sort of a, you know, star or a name or an emblem, and it's maybe it's faded a little bit, or it's just not, maybe it wasn't of the same quality as you want your other tattoos, and you don't want to erase it completely, but you want to touch it up. And tattoo removal techniques can be used to essentially make it look better.
Indeed. Now, when we get to the actual mechanics of tattoo removal, just remember about the macrophages and this, you know, the dyes being too large, right, to break down in the dermis. And recall that information, because when you are trying to remove a tattoo, what you're basically doing is aiming a laser at it and breaking it down into tinier and tinier particles so that those macrophages can consume it and take it away into the bloodstream to be flushed out of your body.
Yeah, break it down to a level that they can handle it and to a level to where it's their business to handle it.
And most tattoos require at least 3 to 4 treatments. They're spaced about 8 weeks apart to remove. The cost can range from several hundred to several thousand dollars, depending on the size and the location of the tattoo. And it turns out that just black and white tattoos are the easiest to remove because that black dye is easier to break down with a laser.
Yeah, that's interesting. I would have thought that maybe some of the other colors would be easier to break down, but I guess the black is really stark and
yeah, it responds better to the laser. Now, the removal is described as someone snapping a rubber band at your skin over and over again.
Huh. So it's another sort of painful ritual that you go through.
Yeah.
To exercise some force, some symbol, or some presence from your life.
Of purging.
Yeah.
Right. It's almost like self-flagellation.
Yeah. I mean, and a great way to, I guess, end a breakup or a marriage or something. You just actually just pay someone to use a laser beam to just blast their name out of your skin and let your body's immune system consume it.
You can say that, too. You can be like, right now, I'm purging you from my blood.
Yeah. Yeah, my immune system is eating the last of you now, Sarah. Now, given the number of individuals who end up needing to have a tattoo removed, it stands to reason that we would want to develop ink that is more easily removed to make tattoos, in a sense, a little less permanent, knowing that we're going to get tattoos that we don't want to keep forever.
I was thinking about that. I was like, this is good for the non-committal set like myself, who is like, oh, okay, maybe I'll get one if I know that it's going to break down much easier with a laser.
And that brings us to this special Infinity Ink, manufactured by, what's the name of the company?
Freedom to Ink.
Freedom to Ink.
Freedom to be you and me.
Yeah, freedom to be me, you and me, but with the caveat that we can erase things that we put into our flesh. And the idea here is that you just have a dye that is easier to remove, because the dye is stored in microscopic capsules that will stay in the skin for good, but are more easily broken down by the laser. So it's basically, let's make an ink that is easier to remove with the accepted techniques. There's nothing magic about it. You can't just rub a magnet on it and make it go away.
Yeah.
But it makes it easier to get rid of with the with traditional means of tattoo removal.
Yeah, again, about the macrophages and the size, right? So if you can get that dye particle as tiny as you can and just suspend it in a polymer bead, then when you aim that laser at it, and it combusts that polymer bead, then it's so much easier to deal with by the body.
And it seems like this ink is becoming more and more accessible, and more tattoo parlors around the world, but it does still kind of seem like an easy way out. Why do you want to have that? Having that escape route in place seems a little against the idea of the permanency of
the whole point. Anyway, yeah.
But I don't know. I guess it would be definitely beneficial. I could see for those medical tattoos we were talking about, particularly ones used in radiation treatments.
Yeah.
Because in many cases, individuals will undergo that kind of treatment afterwards, even though we're talking about very small dots.
Mm-hmm.
They might want to get rid of them because it's a permanent sign of this ordeal they had to go through. So.
Or maybe it's just something that they should always offer when someone is getting a you know, girlfriend or boyfriend's name tattooed. Like, huh, do you want to upgrade a bit and go to this other ink, you know?
It's sort of offered as a you know, behind-the-counter kind of sale.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hey, I know she means a lot to you, but trust me.
5-10 years from now? Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah, just
I don't know why the tattoo artist is talking like that.
Yeah, well, you generally want all your relationship advice from a tattoo artist, generally speaking.
Oh, I think a tattoo artist could provide great relationship advice. Are you kidding? They probably have seen everything and probably know more about the human experience than most of us.
I've heard a friend of a friend used to work at a tattoo parlor in Athens, Georgia, and supposedly the parlor had a wall of shame in the back where they would put the particularly bad tattoos that individuals had paid for.
Like their own workmanship, or just like more of like hey, I want this dolphin sitting on a lazy boy.
I think that kind of thing, you know, or particularly like racist tattoos, just things where you're like, oh, why would someone do that? I think it probably, you know, there was a range from just the head scratching tattoos to mm-hmm. the purely awful tattoos.
I have a challenge for you guys out there. Can you come up with a tattoo that I should get? And I'm not saying I'm going to get it, okay? I'm just saying, because you know I'm noncommittal, but yeah. I'm intrigued by it. Christian Steinmetz of Stuff of Genius mm-hmm. and other How Stuff Works joints, I suppose.
Yeah.
He and I were talking one day and saying that we should all get like one bonding tattoo. And what should that be? And of course, the How Stuff logo came up as an idea, which is a question mark if you guys aren't familiar with it.
Oh, yeah.
And then we thought, yes, tramp stamps of the House of Works logo. And then we quickly decided that's a terrible idea and so confusing for anybody who might be amorously involved with us.
Yeah, it does. I could see that being problematic. Well, maybe we should all get it right here on our third eye.
Or in the pineal gland.
Yeah.
Yes. Over the pineal gland.
We should probably pick one chakra. Just go pick one of these chakras that relates most to your, the sort of content that you produce for How Stuff Works,
uh-huh.
and that's where you get it.
I like it.
Yeah.
What are the car stuff guys going to do?
Oh, which chakra is the automotive chakra? I can't remember.
The pelvic region.
Yeah. All right, so there you have it. A crash course in some of the interesting points of tattooing history and culture that we found interesting, as well as the science of tattoos, the science of tattoo removals. And in our next episode, we're going to look to some of the more cutting-edge and, indeed, near-future applications of tattoos, the future of tattooing. So look forward to that episode. And in the meantime, make sure you go to stufftoblowyourmind.com because that is where you will find all the podcast episodes, all the videos, all the blog posts, as well as links out to various social media accounts that we maintain.
And if you would like to send us your thoughts about tattoos, because I bet you guys have some experiences out there or some things that you'd like to share, you can do that by emailing us at blowthemind@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time,
Get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.